Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad that you could stop by today. My name is Melitza and welcome to this play space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours. And also so that we can introduce a new play idea or two. If you're new to the show, welcome. It's good to see you. And hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room, so come join us as we play with Rosemary Rice in a sensory tub, thanks to an amazing suggestion by Childhood 101. You can just smell that woodsy forest scent. Last week's show, I shared some playful parenting principles. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. Well, this week's show, I'm excited to be talking to Megan Flatt about getting things done and play. I've mentioned Megan before on the show and we've had a fun time chatting about getting things done and play. Megan knows her stuff and as a mother of two children really relates to our stage. While you listen to our interview, check out her site at meganflatt.com. That's meganflatt.com, meganflatt.com. Hope you'll stick around and I'll be right back after this short break with our interview.
Hi, you're listening to Raising Playful Tots, and this is Kara of SimpleKids.net talking to you from Indianapolis, Indiana in the United States.
Today I'm talking to Megan Flatt, writer at meganflatt.com. She's a mother of two small children and supports mums to find their mama groove. Today she's here to talk about getting things done, time management and productivity. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, it's cool to have you here today. I wanted to talk about some common problems that we have each day. Is that we wake up with a list of things that we want to do, and how do you find time to play as well? So talk to us about effective ways to start the day and to-do lists.
Well, absolutely. And this is one of the things that I really stress with my own family and with my clients. And I really feel the core of my philosophy is that the more organized we can be and the more kind of planning ahead we can do as busy moms, that's actually what frees us up to have those times where we can spend with our kids, spend with our families, do the other things that are important to us as moms, spend time with, you know, our partners, or, you know, have that other part of our life. And so I really feel the more we can rely on a well-crafted to-do list and our calendars and our schedules, actually, the more freedom we end up having. Sometimes people feel like that, you know, oh, I don't want to be too scheduled, or I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to have to follow a strict plan with my kids. But I really have found that the more scheduled I am, the more freedom it actually gives me.
Oh, yeah, that sounds perfect. So how do you work out that with a to-do list? Do you do a specific to-do list at a specific time?
Well, so that's a really great point. And there's a million different ways to do to-do lists. And I do believe that everybody has to kind of figure out what works best for them. But what I find, a couple of things about to-do lists in general, I'll see if I can not jump around too much. But first, the first kind of key to a to-do list is having it all in one consistent place. And I think some of us, we tend to, you know, maybe we scratch a grocery list on the back of an envelope, or these are the things I have to pick up at the market, or you might have a notebook where you keep ideas for, you know, a business that you might want to start. And then maybe you attend a lecture on a parenting topic and you keep those notes somewhere else, and you end up kind of having stuff spread all over the place and things that you want to do and things you want to do with your kids and by yourself. And so the first thing I really recommend people do is that they create a consistent place to keep all of those ideas. And it can be, I call it a, you know, brain dump, or lots of people call it a brain dump, where you're just getting all of those ideas down on paper. And that could be, whenever I do the brain dump, I always laugh because on one line it might say, buy toilet paper. And then the next line, it's, you know, an idea for a dream business that I have. So, and that's, you know, that's fine. It's like, it's just getting it all out there on paper. And I always say the brain is not a reliable place to keep a list. And any mom knows that our brains don't seem to work as well for most kids. So taking that time to get it out on paper, but then you end up with these crazy overwhelming lists, and we don't want that either. So I really recommend that, either first thing in the morning or the night before, or I like to even kind of look at a whole week at a time and break down, I call it my sticky note strategy. So basically using a square sticky note to plan out a day at a time. And these are the things that I must get done on any given day. And it just gives you this opportunity to plan it out a little more. Instead of looking at this big overwhelming list, you can start to break it down and say, oh, well, this doesn't actually need to be done until Thursday. So on Monday, I don't need to be stressed out about it. I just put it on the list for Thursday. I also feel like it's really important. We tend to only put our menial tasks on a list. So we put the things like buy toilet paper or return the library book. You know, those are the things that end up going on our to-do list. But I really feel that we should put I call those your must-dos or your have-to-dos. We also want to put our want-to-dos on the list too. So things that are important to you as a mom, if you are, you know, maybe you enjoy crafting or maybe you are trying to write a novel or start a business, those things should go on your to-do list too, and because you're putting value on them. And by the same token, also things that you want to do with your kids or an activity that you want to do with your children or a place that you want to take your children or even a book that you want to read to your children. Putting it on your list gives it some value, and you're basically telling yourself and the universe that the things that I put on my list are important. So if you put read the new library book to my child, or you put, spend 30 minutes writing in the journal, you're giving those things value and you're making them important to yourself.
Oh, no, that's good. Lots of good tips in there to unpack. What's the best way of getting organized around housework and errands? Because I know they're quite menial, but they're the things that we tend to gravitate towards as parents at home. We tend to do Absolutely. Those things first. And like you've mentioned, some things get left by the wayside. So how do we organize ourselves around the housework and errands so that they don't take over our entire lives?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And it really leads off what I was just talking about valuing your tasks. I really encourage moms to look at how they value their time. And we have a tendency to create these to-do lists. And then as soon as we have any bit of free time, we just start crossing off the to-do list. So kind of going back to what we were just talking about, if your to-do list only contains the housework and the errands and things like that, then you kind of start saying, okay, well, you know, the kids are napping, or maybe you have some childcare hours, or they're in preschool, and okay, I have some free time, let me start crossing these things off the list. And you're right, they do tend to be the housework and the errands and things that, I mean, obviously, you know, buying toilet paper is important. Like, obviously these things need to get done.
Yeah.
But sometimes we plug them into what I call our high value time. So the time for most of us is that are those small amounts of time that we have that are kid free. That's really our high value time. That's when we can really put a lot of energy into a task. And, you know, something like laundry doesn't really need a lot of energy. So the first thing I like moms to do is just kind of look at that time and kind of think, is this the best use of my time? Or is there something that is going to make me happier and make me more fulfilled? Just a quick tangent where I think our messages overlap so much is that I really believe that I believe that happy, healthy, fulfilled moms lead to happy, healthy, fulfilled children and communities and families. And so I think the better care moms are taking of themselves, then the better they're able to care for their families. And I think that when I know for myself personally as a mom, like you mentioned, I have two young kids, and I know when I start to feel frazzled and when I'm having a harder time connecting with my children, it's usually because I haven't had enough time to devote to something that's important to me.
Right.
And so if I can kind of make sure I have that balance, if I can spend 30 minutes or an hour or whatever time I've allotted, focusing on that thing that fulfills me as a person, then I'm better able to be fully present and really engage with my kids when I'm with them. And so going back to that high value time, I think that when we do have that high value time, if we focus it on the things that are really important to us as people, then we're just more fulfilled, and that spills over into the way we care for our kids. So that's kind of a high level answer mm-hmm. to your question. I can go into some more kind of specific tips if you want to.
No, that's great. It's nice to hear that perspective about using your time wisely and how the different types of time there is. Because if we don't often get a chance to sit back and notice the time that we're using, we just use the time that we're using. It was good. It was a good pointer to kind of get us started thinking about that. And you talked about something that I want to go on to talk about a bit more, and that's our dreams and our hopes, because some of us are at home with our families all day. Some of us are working and come home with our children, working outside the home. And some of us come home. And there's all in between the things that we do and the people that listen to the show. But we're all trying to raise a playful tot. But we also need to remember ourselves. We've got things that we want to do, that we want to learn ourselves. Maybe we want to read a magazine, some ebooks, or we've got blog reading. We basically want to learn more things about how we help our children play, and we need to look after ourselves. So how do we find that time during the day to educate ourselves, find that small space where we can do something for ourselves and not feel bad about it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's such an issue. And I think even once you have some tools and some techniques to follow, it's easy to kind of slip back into that. And you actually touched on a couple of things. One is just some basic time management around, you know, how do we find the time for those things that are important to us? Like you said, whether it's personal development and learning, or whether it's working out, or maybe it's learning a new hobby. Maybe you want to learn to play an instrument, or, you know, whatever it is. Or, and then you also talked about how do we do that kind of without feeling guilty. So the first thing as far as actually finding time. So my big philosophy is that if we streamline our must-dos, then we have more time for our want-tos. So again, like I go back to having moms brainstorm that list of the things that they have to do during the day. And then they look over that list and start to kind of analyze it. And are there things that you can just eliminate? Are there tasks that you feel like you should be doing, but they really don't need to be done? Or maybe they don't need to be, like, every step of it doesn't need to be done. Like, maybe I've been using this joke, but maybe, you know, maybe you're ironing, like maybe you don't need to iron your bed sheets, or, you know, maybe there's pieces of your routine that, you know, you can cut out. So kind of seeing what on your list you can eliminate. And because if you think about it, it's like, okay, if it takes you 20 minutes to do that task and it's not something that really needs to be done, there's 20 minutes for you to spend reading or researching or learning or playing with your kids or, you know, doing whatever it is. And so finding what you can eliminate, and then also finding what you can automate or delegate. So looking at especially when we're talking about repeatable tasks, so things like housework, things like errands, things that you have to do, you know, grocery shopping isn't a one-time thing. I mean, you have to go grocery shopping, couple times a week. And if you can get more efficient with that, if you can take your grocery shopping and you can have a better list, a better shopping list, and you spend some time to create a more detailed shopping list, and you kind of do a pantry inventory, and yes, it takes a little more time, but if you spend a little more time to be more organized in that sense, now you can make one trip to the store instead of two or three trips in the week. And then you've saved, I don't know about you, but every time I go to the grocery store, it's at least an hour or an hour and a half of time. You know, even if you just have to go for a few things, it takes a big chunk of time. If you can cut out one of those trips by being a little more organized in the front end, then there's an hour or an hour and a half that you can spend on something that's important to you. And then the last thing you touched on is this: how do we do it without feeling guilty? How do we take time for ourselves without feeling guilty? And a mommy guilt, oh my gosh, she just, you know, comes up in a million different ways. And even when you think you've kind of mastered it, it comes up again in something else. But one of the things that I really like to do, I like to call it my anti-mommy guilt mantra. And I think of the phrase, or I basically try to flip what I'm feeling guilty about, or suggest that my clients flip what they're feeling guilty about to how what they're doing is actually benefiting their family. So if you are feeling guilty because you want to go exercise, you exercising is benefiting your family by you're going to be healthier. You're going to be around longer to be there for your family. You're going to, especially with your message, you're going to be able to, keep up with your kids at the park. You're going to be able to get down on the floor and play with them because you're going to have that, that energy level that comes from exercising. If you feel guilty because you want to, do some personal development or read or learn or maybe take a class, how is that actually benefiting your family? You know, maybe what you're learning is something that's going to improve your family. Maybe you're learning a new skill, or you're learning how to cook a new meal, or you're learning new techniques for parenting and playing with your children. So I think sometimes moms, we're hardwired to take care of everyone. So if we can flip our thinking to think, okay, this thing that I'm doing for myself, instead of viewing it as being selfish, view it as this is how it's benefiting my family. Mm.
That's really good. Let's talk a little bit about the word delegating. You said that earlier on. And
yeah,
as mums, we tend to feel that we can do a lot of these things ourselves, or probably better than other people in our family.
Totally.
And that's not to say that that's not true. And I do understand that not everybody has other people around. Some of us live isolated or don't have partners at home. But what would you say to getting things done, working through organizing, productivity, time management, to those of us that have partners, spouses, people at home that we can share these things with? How do we manage all of these things and delegate to those people? Is it a conversation that we need to be having?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I do think, and I'm very sensitive to the fact that we are all in different situations, and we all have different, different levels of support. But I think, you really touched on it. Like, I think it comes back to us as moms and how we feel like we have to do it all ourselves. And we feel like if we do ask for help, that we're failing or that we can't handle it. And so that's the first thing, is that you really have to kind of, shut that down. And the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, I feel like it takes a village to raise a mom. Like, we need a support group. And that doesn't mean it has to come from a spouse or a family. It doesn't have to come from one particular person. It can come from a friend or from a neighbor or from a mom at your kid's preschool, or, it can come in a lot of different forms. It can come from listening to podcasts like this and being part of these kind of communities. Like, that can be your support network. From a logistical, literal stance, maybe you can ask your neighbor to pick up milk at the store for you. I think most of us would be happy to do it if our neighbor called us and said, hey, I'm home alone with the kids and I'm out of milk. Would you mind, picking up some milk, or would you mind, helping me out in this way? We'd all be happy to help, but I think it's really hard for us to ask for help. So I think, just again, kind of like we talked about flipping mommy guilt, I think kind of flipping it around and putting yourself in the other person's shoes. What would you say if someone asked you for help? And building those communities and asking for what you need, and asking, whether it is a partner, or whether it's a family member, or whether it's just kind of arranging play dates, or even, especially when you have young kids, you're not quite ready to drop your child off at someone's house. But even just one of the things a group of friends did is they would get together. The moms would get together. Say there were four moms. Well, three of the moms with the four kids would all get together, and then that one mom would have an hour to go off to do something, but there would still be, three moms taking care of the kids. Or even, hey, would you mind if I come sit at your house and work on my computer while our kids play on the floor, or something like that. Like, there's lots of different ways that we can ask for help. You had another really good point that I wanted to bring up. Oh, I know what it was, and this is just really quickly, and this kind of addresses what you were saying about, you know, that we feel like we maybe do it better or we do it the right way. And this was a little bit of advice I got before I even had kids. A friend of mine who's a parenting coach and a child psychologist gave me this really great bit of advice. She said, if you want someone to co-parent with you, you have to let them parent their way. And I thought that was such a great bit of advice, and it can really apply, you know, it can apply to a lot of different situations. And yes, as moms, we feel like we are the only ones that can do something or do it the right way, but really we're just the only ones that can do it our way. And our way might be really good and it might be really efficient, but there's other ways to do things. And, you know, sometimes it's worth letting someone else load the dishwasher or, you know, or take care of the kids or whatever it is. And even if it doesn't get done exactly the way that you would do it, I always think too, like with my husband, I always think like I'm giving my husband and my kids a great opportunity to bond and to spend time together if I leave the house.
Right.
So if I leave the house to go do something else, then they're having a great opportunity to learn about each other and grow together and be playful together. And if I'm always there, then they never have that opportunity.
No, that's a really good thought to complete on. We were talking about dreams a little earlier, and I wanted to just return there and see if you can give maybe a couple of concrete ways forward, because I know that, you know, in those brief moments that we have, people dream. They dream about being debt-free. Mm-hmm. They dream about having a babysitter. They dream about going to the bathroom without a little one on their leg. They dream about finishing their graduate degree or living overseas or time alone or date nights or coming back to hobbies that they want to do, or like you said, working out, setting up a play space. They've always wanted to do it. They've seen pictures. They really want to do it. They want to declutter their toys. We all have dreams. But
yep.
Getting from where your dream is in your head to reality, I know you said write it down was one of the ideas that you gave.
Yeah.
But can you give us maybe two really quick things for the parents that are listening right now that they could go and do right now to make those dreams closer than the thought that's just in their head?
Yes, absolutely. I think what holds us back, like you said, we all have these dreams and we all have these ideas. And I bet every single one of your listeners, as you were talking about those different dreams, they were thinking about what their dream is. And then probably most of us follow that with, yes, that sounds great, but I don't have the time.
Yes.
And I think we have a tendency to think, you know, we think, when I have the time, or when I have more time, or when my kids are older, then I'll start this thing. But what I want to suggest is the math. If you take 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day to devote to what that dream is, to making that dream a reality, that's 60 hours in a year. And so if you can spend 10 minutes a day for the 3 or 4 or 5 years while your kids are young, you're 200, 300 hours into working on your dream by the time your kids are at school or by the time you do have that, you know, quote unquote, more time. So I really recommend take that dream, take a few minutes. You can tell I love to make lists, but sit down with a, you know, cup of tea, sit down with a beautiful journal and write out all the steps of what your dream entails and break them down into smaller and smaller and smaller bits. Until you have a whole list of, you know, a step-by-step guide to your dream, but everything is in little 10-minute increments or 15-minute increments. So, yes, like your example of creating a play space, like that seems completely overwhelming when you think of everything that entails. But if one little step is to sort out one cupboard so that you can move some things into that cupboard. Okay, well, maybe I can do that one little step in 10 minutes, you know, while my kids are finishing up their nap or after they go to bed. And then if the next step is, you know, just to move one piece of furniture to the other side of the room, okay, I can do that today. I can just move that piece of furniture. And yes, I mean, we'd all love to have you know, oh gosh, if I had, you know, 2 full days, I could do the whole thing. But
yes,
most of us just aren't ever going to have that. And so we just break it down and we just take it one little bite at a time. And it's the same thing if you want to do a project like your playroom, or if you want to start a blog or start a business or learn to play an instrument or, you know, get your graduate degree, you know, you just take it one little bit at a time.
That's brilliant. That's really good advice. I saw that you have a neat new course that you're offering called Finding Your Mama Groove. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
I'm really excited about it. You can learn more about it. The website is findyourmamagroove.com. And we start on September 30th, and it's a 6-week online e-course. And basically, the idea is that sometimes as moms, just like you said, sometimes as moms, we get stuck in a rut. And I want moms to be in their groove. And it's all about taking the time to rediscover or discover those things that fulfill you, all of those dreams that you were just talking about, and then creating an actionable plan to find the time and the energy to do it. So the course really flip-flops back and forth between being very introspective on what our big goals and dreams are, to then being very practical to, well, let's create a meal plan so that you, you know, that you streamline your evening routine a little bit to free up some time. Or let's, you were talking about errands earlier. One of the worksheets is creating errand zones. So when you're out, you're not running all over the county trying to get your errands done. You have almost a map of how you can get things done more efficiently. And the whole course, over the course of the 6 weeks, you're putting together your Mama Groove guidebook. And this is basically one of my friends who is helping me, you know, read over all the information in the course. She said, oh, it's the instruction book that motherhood didn't come with. And I love that. And it's literally, you can put it in a 3-ring binder. You can have it spiral bound. You're literally going to leave this 6-week online class with an instruction book on how you can accomplish your big dreams and how your family and your home can still run efficiently even while you're pursuing these things that are important to you.
Oh, that sounds really good. I'm
really excited.
Well, it's having the focus, time and attention that you can put to it, because we have a lot of space in our day if we don't do some of the things that we constantly do, like get on Facebook and, you know, all of these extra trips that we go to the grocery store, like you said. And so there is space and time in our day to be able to do courses like yours and be able to find our mama groove and be able to then be able, you know, to see our dreams actually become a reality. And so it's really exciting that you've got something out there for us to be able to try.
Absolutely. And that's what's so neat. And that's what I tell a lot of moms too, that are, you know, going after these big dreams. Like, so many of us, if we had an idea of something we wanted to do, it entails, you know, going back to a university to get a degree or taking classes, or, you know, it involved set times and set schedules and you had to be in a certain location. And now we've got this amazing world of online education that you can do at, you know, it doesn't matter what time zone you're in. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter. You can be nursing a baby and be learning something on the computer at the same time. And it's just this great opportunity for moms that didn't exist, you know, even 5 years ago. You know, so if there's anything, if you want to learn how to play the harmonica, you can just pop that into a search engine and you can do that. And so any of those dreams that you mentioned, there's a way to learn how to do that from home with young kids, while you're still being a great mom, and you can still do those things that are fulfilling to you.
You're so right. And I love the fact also that it doesn't matter where your friends are and other people that are local to you in their thinking. If you're thinking, I want to pursue my dreams, and other people around you aren't there yet, or maybe they are naysayers and aren't encouraging, you can now find a group of people anywhere that is trying to do the same thing that you're doing, so you can all become together. And I think that's just super to be able to do. I mean, I
it's
know
so
that,
fun. Yeah.
That's what the podcast has been here for, is to find other people that are like you, thinking the same way, same mindset, and be able to just grow and change and challenge and, you know, commiserate together. You know, this is what being a mother is all about, sharing with other people that are going along the journey with you.
Absolutely. And I think motherhood, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a working mom, motherhood can be very isolating, and especially when you have young kids.
Yeah.
When you're not, you know, once my oldest just started kindergarten, so we're just entering the elementary school and meeting other families and parents. But when you have young kids, I mean, you're really, your world, you know, your social world really revolves around them too. And so that's another thing with your podcast and with the community that you're creating and with other online groups. It just gives us that opportunity, like you said, to find other people that have the same feelings as us and beliefs as us, or maybe don't, and that lets you learn other things too. But it just you know, literally opens up our world to more people.
Excellent. So this is the part of the show that we get to know you a little bit more. And so we have these few questions that we ask each of our interview guests. And so are you ready?
I'm ready. It's exciting.
What are two actions that you've taken in the last 2 years that have had a positive effect on your life?
What? Two actions?
Yes.
Okay. Let me think. Are they all going to be hard? This is hard.
No.
Well, one. Okay. So one is that talking about online education, I did an online business course about a year and a half ago, and I can literally say that it changed my life. It, everything that we were just talking about, it really opened my eyes to what was available to me in the world and what I could do as a mom. I've always said that, you know, that I've always wanted to be a great mom, and I've always wanted my kids to be my greatest accomplishment, but I didn't want them to be my only accomplishment. And so taking this course, just really opened my eyes to a world that was out there and that was available to me and that I could participate in while still being a great mom to my kids and present for my kids and active in their lives. So that was definitely a huge impact. And then I know the second thing that was kind of an accidental decision was that last year, my son that just started the kindergarten last year, we participated, we changed his preschool, and we participated in a cooperative preschool where there's one head teacher, and then each day there's six parent teachers. And I really wasn't sure about it. I really wasn't sure going into it. I wasn't sure if I wanted other parents telling my child, you know, what to do. I wasn't sure if I wanted to tell other kids what to do. And it was such a delightful experience. We made amazing friends. Talking about starting to build a community, we made amazing friends with other parents that had similar values and similar kind of life standards to us. I had no idea how much I would enjoy being in the classroom with my son and watching him learn and watching him develop over that year. And then also just getting to know his friends and getting to know and watch these other little people and these other little brains develop. And it was such an accidental decision for us. But now my 2.5-year-old, as soon as she's old enough, we're going to jump right back into that preschool. So that was definitely another decision that made a big impact in our lives.
Oh, that's brilliant. And so let's turn back the clock to the year 2000. So that's 13 years ago. Can you remember what you were doing in the year 2000? And we say the year 2000 because it's usually the year that most people remember what they were doing.
So I was just finishing up college. I graduated college halfway through, you know, in June of 2000. I loved the town, the college town that I lived in. I basically stayed for all of 2000 in the little college town. I worked in the community. I was teaching children's dance. I was volunteering for a children's musical theater company. And gosh, just kind of figuring what my next step in the world was going to be.
Yeah, life must have been very different looking at that point than it is today.
Yeah. But I really believe that everything that we do is the next step. You know, everything, positive, negative, you know, they're all the experiences that move us forward and get us where we're supposed to go.
Yeah, excellent. So this is the last one, and it's an easy one. What's the favorite play activity in your household?
Oh, well, right now we are really into Legos in our household. It's like the rite of passage. My son, and it's really interesting. And I don't know if you've experienced this or you've heard this from your other listeners. It's really interesting having a younger child because I feel like she just wants to do whatever her big brother is doing.
Yes.
So I feel like we don't do quite as many of the activities that we did when he was two. She tends to just do the 5-year-old activities. But, you know, so we do a lot of Legos. But I will say my daughter is adorable. She's definitely into her baby dolls right now.
Okay.
So she loves to, you know, put them in the stroller, give them their bowls, wrap them up with blankets. And so it's pretty fun because sometimes occasionally those two things cross over. They'll try to make like Lego houses for the babies, and it's pretty fun.
Oh, no, that's really sweet. Well, today I've been talking to Megan Flatt about happy, healthy, fulfilled mothers raising families so things get done. Check out her findingyourmamagroove.com, her course, to go deeper and learn how, as busy mothers, we can get things done and get into your groove. Thank you so much for sharing all of your ideas today on the show, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fantastic. And yeah, I definitely look forward to talking more with you and with some of your listeners.
I'll be right back after this short break. You can listen to Raising Playful Tots while you're on the move by choosing Stitcher. Stitcher is a free app available for your smartphone. Downloading this app is really quick and easy. Enter Tots, that's T-O-T-S, during registration to be entered to win in their monthly draw. Then you'll receive the latest episode right there waiting for you of Raising Playful Tots. Not just that, but you can discover hundreds of other popular new shows. You can find all of this by visiting stitcher.com/tots. That's stitcher.com/tots. Issue 4 of Play, Grow, Learn by Childhood 101 is out. Really exciting to see that because it's a magazine, a digital download that you can get from Childhood 101. I'm not an affiliate for this. I just think that it's a really fantastic magazine. So you can download and see all these brilliant different ideas. On the front cover, she talks about geocaching, kids and yoga, sensory play and rainbows, farm mazes for the baby, and exploring numeracy, literacy, art, small world, Play-Doh, outdoors, cooking, and more. If you go over to her site, childhood101.com/play-grow-learn, you'll find all about issue number 4, which is their biggest yet, 70 pages of lots of activities, ideas, inspiration to do with play. And as you know already, we are all about play here, so pop on over to her site and have a look at that. Another place I'd like to share is powerfulmothering.com, powerfulmothering.com. They have a really interesting series that's dear to many of our hearts. They have a Raising Boys series where they have 5-minute Monday gems. And so if you go over to their site, Raising Boys series 5-minute Monday gems is what you'll look at when you go to Powerful Mothering. And they have a little prompt and an article that you can follow, and you can also sign up and get this whole series coming to you in your inbox. So let's have a look at some of the ideas that are there, because I think you might find them really interesting. Connecting effectively with your son, hurt or whole, how dads mold boys into men, mummy guilt, beat the devil on your shoulder, that tricky thing called testosterone, tips and tools for teaching boys, the 3 A's your sons will love receiving, 6 ways to build your son's confidence, and on and on. They have about 8 different articles there, and they do a different one each week. So if you have boys, you have nephews, you know, boys in your neighborhood, then this is probably something that you want to go and have a look at. And that's powerfulmothering.com. Well, I hope today's show has inspired and challenged you to work on your to-do list in a different way. Don't forget to check out our guest today, Megan Flatt. For links and show notes, please go to raisingplayfultots.com/145. That's show 145. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell others. And if you have a chance, please rate and review on iTunes. And the easiest way to get to the Raising Playful Tots page is to use this short link, raisingplayfultots.com/iTunes page. Your reviews help others to find the show just like you did. Thank you for listening to the show today, and I really hope that your week has been filled with play and lots of goodness. Your tantrums have been mild and your plate less full. Thank you for your time and have a fantastic week. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 145. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.